The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. It's amazing how vivid a scene Saint Luke can paint for us in his description and his retelling of the events there on the road to Emmaus and the beginning of the living into really the power of the resurrection there in Jerusalem. He's done any number of things in this gospel passage and in the positioning of the text and the little quotes that he's given us from the couple on their way to Emmaus and of course from Jesus himself. I think it's significant to see it's becoming more and more widely accepted in scholarship to say that we see here Cleopas or Clopas. And we've been introduced to his wife in the Gospel of John, and many a scholar at this point believes that this is actually a pretty old reading of the text as well. But many a scholar at this point would understand the couple on the way to Emmaus to be a husband and wife. Yeah, so this is she is not named, but this is just custom. Yeah, that if a woman is with her husband, she would not be named. But here they are walking along. They're both identified as Jesus' disciples, right? There's no disparity among them at that point. They're walking along trying to make sense of the things that have been going on, and here Jesus appears with them. I think it becomes more significant when we see something of an inclusio that Luke has given us, an inclusion, which is to say is put brackets on a bigger part of the story. When we see Jesus taking the bread, saying the blessing, breaking it, and giving it to them, we see him say, "With that, their eyes were opened," and this is exactly the same language that's used in the very beginning of the Bible with the meal that Adam and Eve were sharing of their forbidden fruit. Now, with that, their eyes were opened, and they realized they weren't naked, and they hid themselves, and so on and so forth, right? So this is what we're seeing here at the end of this particular inclusio, is that the Eucharistic meal is undoing the work, the sin, the effect of Adam and Eve's disobedience. Okay, so this is terribly significant for us. No matter that it's raining outside today, this is terribly significant for us. I'm going to have a good time, even if you're not. So this is, I'm a stubborn oppositional character. So this is very significant for us because it's like, okay, well, if we're going to be people who recognize that, in the world eyes, it's things are not the way they should be, and we really struggle against the wickedness and evil that we find either in the world, and this is part of, our heart's projection, but then also what we find in us. We struggle with light and darkness in ourselves. No matter where we find ourselves there, if we're going to recognize evil, wickedness, sin, and the rest, then we ought to be recognizing in Jesus, most especially in his giving himself to us in the Blessed Sacrament, the cure for what ails us. Yes, so this is the overturning of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and it's given to us in sacred meal. It's not simply given to us in Scripture, although it's given to us in Scripture as well, right? Because we've just made our way with Jesus on the road to Emmaus with Clopas and his wife, pondering anew with Jesus, the breaking open of the Scripture and how the whole Scripture narrative. Points to him as its fulfillment, points to Jesus as its fulfillment. And, even as they don't recognize him along the way, but then, their hearts is still burning within them. Yeah? So, we have this same experience. We're exploring the Scriptures. We have to engage our minds. We have to lock in with our intellect and the rest. And we're, growing in anticipation of the Lord who is revealing himself to us, right? So it's not simply that it's not simply then an intellectual exercise. It's an intellectual exercise that looks to bear the fruit of interpersonal relationship. So we're making our way through the Scriptures in order to encounter Jesus. We're going to have some sense of the fact that we are encountering him as our hearts are moved in the study of the Scripture. But it all comes to fruition in his giving himself to us. Of course it is, right? Of course that's the point, because it's his initiative. The entire time, he's the one who's taking the initiative. He's the one who's driving the story of Scripture on, right? He's the one who embodies Israel in that way, such as to move them through into the kingdom of God, the long promised kingdom of God. And he then is not only inspiring us to follow him on the way. He's also giving us the strength that we need in order to persevere in love of him, and then be reanimated. By that exchange of love, to live according to the plan and purpose of God. Okay, so this is again, it's a very excited scene. I try to give some sense of that, both in the proclamation of the gospel and in my somewhat incoherent homily. And we're going forth with excitement of the fact that the scenes are always like. They're always a bit choppy. They always play out a bit choppy because this is just their best effort to recall what happened, yeah. And we know how memory works, especially in the excited moments of our life. And we can see the excitement here. It's ours to have that same excitement, right? Jesus has risen from the dead. He's defeated our ultimate enemy, and he's freed us for lives of worship and service of God. And now in him and in the power of his Spirit, we can. Ourselves be the completion or the fulfillment of Scripture. We ourselves can be, as we participate in this this meal of bread broken for us and given to us, this Eucharistic meal, which is the body and blood of Jesus himself, we can find our place now in God's continuing story and drive it on to fulfillment. He wants this good work that he has begun in us, right? His summoning of us, his calling us, and equipping us for the task at hand, this work he wants to bring to fruition. He wants to bring to fulfillment. And now, as we ascend to him, as we finding him here, he's found us on our way, and he has given himself to us. We give ourselves in return back to him, love for love, in that rich exchange of life and love and joy. And we then continue on our way, the way that is Christ Jesus. Giving all glory to God and serving him with everything we've got.